I'm Brandi Cruz. Coming up today on Undivided, make no mistake, Trump is taking a gamble with his latest move on tariffs. Will it pay off soon enough? Plus, Maine sees some federal funding halted over its radical gender ideology, but what about us? Also, manufactured outrage over an ICE raid at a local roofing company. That and much more coming up today on Undivided. Remember, you can support our show for just $5 a month by signing up at undividedpod.com. And if you are a first responder, a member of the military, or a veteran, you can get 30% off your first year of Undivided by using the promo code USA. Hello and welcome to Undivided for our final live show of the week. I'm Brandi Cruz. Thank you for being here. Thank you so much for your commitment to giving common sense a comeback. I do want to start with the tariff thing. I realize that this isn't a national news show, but there's no doubt it's going to impact people. And I think, so there's two different kinds of fear, I think. I think there's a legitimate fear. Anyone who is selling you on tariffs that are that widespread, that there's not going to be at least a little short-term pain, is just lying to you. They're just lying to you, even if it is the president who's painting it as this like rosy picture of no consequences at all. Tariffs are taxes. So things are going to be more expensive. Now, if you're buying from an American-made company, things are probably more expensive anyway. So there's that sort of picture, and we'll talk about how Trump is spinning this. And then there's the news. Then there's the news. And anything that Trump does, it's going to be painted in a negative light, and this is like that times 100. If you picked up the Seattle Times today, or if you looked at the Seattle Times website, you would have seen just doom and gloom. Trump escalates trade battles with series of worldwide tariffs. Washington businesses will likely struggle with new round of tariffs. Dow drops 1,400 as U.S. stocks lead worldwide sell-off after Trump tariffs. Now, some of that is just true, but also it's going to be like this. I think regardless of what Trump does, we've come to see that. But you also start to understand kind of how the media operates, because President Donald Trump has made some good points about the necessity to implement these tariffs and to try to right the global economy so America isn't taken advantage of. But that's really not how the news writes headlines. Just a few local headlines on this. Fox 13, wall leaders fear Trump tariffs will significantly hurt local economies. Como News, sweeping Trump tariffs draw dismay, calls for talks from countries around the globe. King 5, Seattle U professor warns U.S. companies will likely take advantage of tariffs by raising prices, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Oh, and this one from Cairo 7 cracks me up. Trump's tariff push is a race against time and potential voter backlash. Yeah, there's a little bit of legitimacy there, because it is a gamble from Trump, because what he's doing, and look, I'm not an expert on the global economy. I'm not an expert on tariffs, and I'm fairly new to Team Trump. That doesn't mean I support everything he does, but one thing I think you can't question about him is his business acumen. And the fact that in his first term, from an economic perspective, he did very well for the country. So when he goes into something like this, I have to believe that he believes it's going to be beneficial in the long term for the United States of America. And the way that he explains it, I tend to trust him. It's kind of like that trust but verify. But that doesn't mean that I think that there's not going to be absolutely any impact for Americans. I want to play just a few, and we'll react to it on the back end. He gave this big, long speech, of course, and just a few of the finer points on the tariff. So basically 10% across the board for products coming into the United States. For some countries, the tariffs, he's doing reciprocal tariffs, so the tariffs are actually going to be higher coming into the United States. So they're pretty significant. But here's a few clips from President Donald Trump's speech.
April 2nd, 2025 will forever be remembered as the day American industry was reborn, the day America's destiny was reclaimed, and the day that we began to make America wealthy again. We're going to make it wealthy, good and wealthy. We can't do it anymore. We take care of countries all over the world. We pay for their military. We pay for everything they have to pay, and then when you want to cut back a little bit, they get upset that you're not taking care of them any longer. But we have to take care of our people, and we're going to take care of our people first. And I'm sorry to say that. So it's 67%, so we're going to be charging a discounted reciprocal tariff of 34%. I think In other words, they charge us, we charge them, we charge them less. So how can anybody be upset? To any company that objects to our common sense reciprocal tariffs, again, reciprocal, back and forth, and we were, I call this kind reciprocal. This is not full reciprocal. This is kind reciprocal.
Super nice.
I think you're going to remember today, it's going to be a free nation that we're dealing with. We're going to have a very free and beautiful nation. It's going to be Liberation Day in America, and it's going to be a day that hopefully you're going to look back in years to come and you're going to say, you know, he was right. This has turned out to be one of the most important days in the history of our country. God bless you and God bless America. Thank you, everybody. Thank you very much.
Liberation Day. What he said right there at the end, I think, sums up my concerns about this, but also something, dare I say, selfless that Donald Trump is doing. You know, I think when economists look at this, and they look at the way the United States has been treated and sort of taken advantage of, if you could take consequences out of the equation, just say, okay, short-term pain, increased costs, markets, like, let's take that out of the equation. Is this the right thing to do? I think if economists are being honest with themselves, they would say yes. But of course, you can't do it without some short-term pain and consequences and the market going down or whatever it is. So that's why I say, when I say I think this is selfless of Donald Trump, he said at the very, very end there, people will look at back at this Liberation Day, you know, years from now and saying, oh, he was right. I don't think Trump will live long enough to see that. He's taking on something that I don't believe we're going to fully see the benefit of during his time in office, and maybe even during his lifetime. I mean, he is old, right? Older, sorry for anyone who might be. He's older, right? More wise. I don't want to offend anybody's age. So it's in that sense, you know, people call him egotistical or whatever it is. I really don't believe that he will still be on this planet when we fully understand, if we can continue going down this direction and stick to it, when we fully understand what this will do for America's economy and what it will do for American companies and what it will do for American workers. And I think he knows that. I think he knows that he probably in his lifetime will never get credit for it. And to me, that's a very selfless thing to do, because I'm sure there are a lot of presidents who would have liked to do this, but because of the short-term pain it's going to cause and the increased costs in the stock market, they didn't want to do it because they're concerned about political implications and political ramifications. I mean, the guy can't, as much as he hints or jokes or whatever he's doing about it, can't run for another term. So he's really got 3 more years to do what he wants to do, and this is what he's going to do. Now, I don't know what that will mean for Republicans in 2028, because if we still haven't seen the benefit of it by then, yeah, there could be some electoral consequences. And not to mention the midterms. The midterms are going to be here before we know it. And so if you're seeing stock market's not doing great, or it hasn't bounced back from these announcements, or people are feeling like the cost of goods is too high, because they're going to get a little bit of that because it is a tax, as I said, then yeah, maybe the midterms, maybe they lose the House. Maybe they lose the Senate. And then what does that mean for 2028? So it's easy to look at this about the short term or about electoral consequences in 2026 or 2028. I think that's easy. It's understandable for people to be worried about that. I wish Trump were a little more honest about that. We're a little more forthright, like, hey, yeah, there's going to be some impacts of this that you might feel, and it's worth it in the long run, right? I think J.D. Vance had said some things in that regard. So I'm in it. But again, I'm 35. So I have a long time left working, unfortunately. I don't even know if podcasters can retire. So the impact right now to my retirement portfolio doesn't overly concern me. However, if you're close to retirement, if you're in retirement, yeah, I can understand how someone might, like my mom, might be upset by it. You know, it's scarier to do these things if you are relying on your retirement portfolio really in a shorter term period of time. So that's where I wish we could all fall with this. You know, got the doom and gloom of the media. Like, this is the end of the world. They're thinking very short term. And they're not willing to hear him out or to have that nuance that we discussed. Okay, what could happen in the long term? Let's actually look at that. What could the 5, 10, 15 year benefits of this be for the United States? But no, they want to scare the hell out of people right now. And of course, it's Trump. So you want to make it seem like Trump is like intentionally crashing the economy and he's just selfish or whatever it is. So I wish people would use more nuance, including the president of the United States. And including his press secretary, who is sort of making the rounds and saying, oh, there won't be any short-term hurt for American businesses and for American workers. And that might be true. But unfortunately, the powers that be and leaders before Donald Trump have set up our economy that relies quite a bit, and the American consumer relies quite a bit on goods and services from overseas. And that's just the way it is. So yeah, we are going to feel it a little bit. Are you okay with that? Or are you not okay with it? What are the long term? I'm okay with it for now. I'm okay with it for now. I'm going to trust, wait, I won't hold my breath, and understand that it might take a few years to manifest. So speaking of things that Trump is doing, just since we're on the topic to start the show with today, we're the ugly stepchild. It's like always a bridesmaid, never a bride. I want to be a bride, damn it. Well, I have been a bride. I want our state to be a bride. And by bride, I just want Donald Trump to pay attention to us so bad. Everyone else, I mean, who cares about Maine? It's just up there in the corner, all small and stuff. Nobody cares about Maine.
What do we got?
Lobster?
That's all we got.
That's all
right?
They got there. Maybe a lobster roll and some nice scenery. But we got much more going on here, President Trump. And I know you think the West Coast is just out of reach and you're never going to win it anyway. So why bother? But man, we could really use your help. So we said on the show yesterday, and this is a huge disappointment. I really think Donald Trump and attention from the federal government is the only thing that's going to right the ship here. We said that the Washington Interscholastic Activities Association come out and said, hey, well, the state won't let us protect girls from boys in sports. So I guess we're just going to fold and we're not going to take a meaningful vote on these amendments that would do that. It'll just be an advisory vote. But Chris Reichdahl has threatened us. Basically, we won't stand up to him and we won't stand up for girls. So we're folding like a cheap suit. So the only, I think, intervention here is federal intervention. And we just keep waiting and hoping. I will say I got a call from a staff from a member of Congress yesterday that's very eager to try to meet with Donald Trump and push him on this issue. So I hope that that gets some traction there. But meanwhile, Maine's getting attention. They're going after Maine. So first, just a reminder, just because I like this clip. When the governors went to D.C. and Trump called out the governor of Maine, Janet Mills.
The NCAA has complied immediately, by the way. That's good. But I understand Maine. Is Maine here, the governor of Maine?
Well,
are you not going to comply with it?
I'm complying with state and federal laws.
Well, we are the federal law. Well, you better do it. You better do it because you're not going to get any federal funding at all if you don't. And by the way, your population, even though it's somewhat liberal, although I did very well there, your population doesn't want men playing in women's sports. So you better comply because otherwise you're not getting any federal funding.
See you in court.
Every state. Good. I'll see you in court. I look forward to that. That should be a real easy one.
Any excuse to play
and enjoy your life after governor, because I don't think you'll be in elected politics.
Oh my gosh, any excuse to play that clip. You know how much I would have just lived and breathed for an exchange like that between Trump and Jay Inslee. I would have played that on repeat while I fell asleep at night. So the federal government's starting to make good on this through an interesting avenue, which actually has made me second guess my opinion on something that I had like a month ago, which I'll discuss. But the New York Times, USDA freezes funding for Maine amid battle over transgender athletes. The administration concluded last month that Maine had violated federal law by allowing transgender athletes to play on girls or women's teams. So it says the Department of Agriculture said on Thursday that it had frozen federal funding for education programs in Maine. The agriculture secretary notified Ms. Mills, the governor, in a letter that funding would be stopped while the agency reviews grants awarded to Maine by the Biden administration, many of which, quote, appear to be wasteful, redundant, or otherwise against the priorities of the Trump administration. The New York Times says it was not immediately clear which educational programs would be affected by the funding freeze. The government's statement said its latest action would not alter federal feeding programs, or direct assistance to citizens. It's interesting that it's coming via the Department of Agriculture, but it actually makes me rethink. I had said if Donald Trump defunds the U.S. Department of Education and grants coming from the U.S. Department of Education, doesn't he lose his leverage over public school systems that he's threatening to withhold federal funding from? But if there's, you know, Department of Agriculture grants that have to do, I'm just trying to think about, like, maybe it's a grant for after school lunches or dinners or something. You know, I'm sure that there is some ties there. Or what is the farm program for kids?
Oh, FFA.
FFA.
Future Farmers of America.
Yeah, things like that. I mean, I don't want that to go away. I like that stuff. But if there are some things that have a tie to educational programs that they can leverage outside the U.S. Department of Education, then I guess it doesn't really matter as much, that if he gets rid of that, there won't be some sort of leverage. So look, we'll see what happens here. I got a couple comments saying, where's Robert's comment telling me to calm down? Robert Powell, he's going to get to us, Brandy. Be patient. It's coming. I have no patience. I have no chill. I have no patience. And it's Maine. Who cares about Maine? We need his focus on the West Coast because, and frankly, all these bad ideas, we started them over here. So if you can get the West Coast in line first, you know how much nonsense that stops from being exported to the rest of the country? We do the crazy stuff here first. So put us in line first. Put us in check first. I mean, that's the only thing that's going to help. So, yeah, I guess. I'm just waiting. Ugly stepchild, I don't think it, I like the bridesmaid reference better.
Right. Well, I mean, school's out in a couple months, so
yeah.
You got to get to it to actually make a difference.
Well, I suppose, I mean, there's spring sports, right? But that's sort of dwindling down. So this issue of protecting girls' sports, I mean, I guess he'll have the summer months to try to work on it.
Right.
And I think a little lull.
Right now we're in like baseball season, which tends to have a little less contact. So
yeah.
Anyway, so it's kind of the whatever, the heat of it.
A little less contact, attention. But you get a dude out there swinging a bat at a softball and that could kill someone. You should know that.
I do know
Did
that.
Did you and not actually get hit with a ball hit by a man, right?
Yes,
a dude hit
yes.
the ball that hit you in the face.
Yes, I did. Uh-huh.
And clearly girls can't catch. So
if you hey.
If you don't get that reference, Nicole had one hell of a shiner 2 years ago. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Because she was playing
holy cow.
Intramural.
It was soft. It's a co-ed softball.
Co-ed
league.
Softball.
Mm-hmm.
And she failed to catch the ball. And she had the world's worst black eye over it.
It was pretty bad.
Men and women's sports is dangerous.
Softball starts this weekend, by the way.
All right.
But, even with co-ed softball, we have two different balls for women and for men. So
they'll pitch a different ball to a dude mm-hmm. than a woman?
Yeah.
Interesting.
The dude's balls are bigger.
No, smaller.
No, actually, because then they go less far the way that, yeah.
It's bigger than a softball?
Well, they're weighted differently.
Interesting. So they have to hold the men down, like hold the men back.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they don't, what? Why is that? Nicole, why is that? why would that be?
I don't know.
Because they're more athletic, stronger.
And we also limit the number of home runs they can have.
Yeah, because they're hitting off a chick, you know. That's easy. I'm just kidding, women. We're capable.
We're capable.
Just not compared to men in sports,
biology.
For the record.
It's facts.
Yeah, it's just biology, people. I mean, there are some weak little Antifa limp-wrist men I could probably take in most any sports, but I don't know if that's what we're talking about here. All right, so there was an ICE raid yesterday at a roofing company in Bellingham, and of course, the left is losing their minds over this. I have some opinions, and I shall share them with you coming up next. First, we need to talk to Zach Abraham with Bulwark Capital about what's happening with the markets right now. However, Zach's in Tahiti, and I already bothered him to tape Doge Watch, which came out this morning. So I'm certainly not going to call him again on his Tahitian vacation and have him come on the show and talk to us about the stocks. So I guess we'll have to do that next week and see what he has to say. But I know that he'll tell us to take a deep breath, calm down, and talk to us about risk management and diversifying portfolios to make sure you're protected against things like this in times like this. That's what Zach Abraham and his team at Bulwark Capital specialize in. First of all, they got their tentacles and teams and everything. They're monitoring not just the stock market. That's a very basic way to just gauge the strength of a retirement portfolio. So they're looking at everything, and his team of analysts is on top of it. So Zach and his team do a free portfolio review. It's a know-your-risk review where they can take a look, basically a second opinion on your retirement portfolio and let you know if it's exposed to too much risk and how you can mitigate that. So totally free. You can sign up for it at knowyourriskradio.com. They'll do a full review of how they're always looking for opportunities to lower risk, lower cost, give your retirement as much upside as possible. It's like running your portfolio through a Department of Retirement Efficiency. So sign up for your risk review now, knowyourriskradio.com, knowyourriskradio.com. Okay, let's start this segment with our daily subscriber show poll, which we do for subscribers on Patreon, Locals, and X. My question today, do you support ICE raids targeting illegal aliens working in the U.S. without authorization? Nicole, yay or nay?
I mean, I think I have to stay consistent and say yes. I support that.
Okay, so if their only thing is they came here illegally and they're working,
well, those are two
illegal
things.
Well, I mean, came here if you're here without authorization,
illegally.
Well, you can be here on, there are certain visas you can be here on, but you can't work, you don't have authorization to work.
Right.
And then there's coming here illegally and providing false paperwork to be able to be employed, right?
Right. But
so,
I mean,
in both of those instances, I would be I would be in favor of them getting in trouble.
Yes.
For me.
Of course.
Does that sound mean?
I mean, yes. If you're here, if you came here illegally, then I think you fall under the, well, we gave you a shot.
Yeah.
You could self-deport, maybe come back. Now you've chosen to not go that route.
I gotta say, I'm actually surprised how one-sided this is in our subscriber poll. I don't know why. Only because, like, you look at all the different types of ICE raids, right?
Mm-hmm.
And clearly the ones where they're out there rounding up the child rapists and murderers, you're like, yay, yay, yay. But in Washington state, people tend to be a little tisk about the raids at places of employment or people who are working. So, but right now, 94% saying, yes, I support ICE raids targeting illegal aliens who are working in the U.S. without authorization. Let me see here. Robert says, I said yes, but admittedly, my feelings are much more mixed for people who have been positively contributing to the economy for years by working and paying taxes. E says, we're done being PC about illegals. Part of my family came here legally, and we're all for legal immigration. However, aiding and abetting illegals by hiring them is contributing to a type of slavery. We all need to stop calling it the sanitized trafficking and call it what it is. It's no different than sweatshops. Brenda, yes, it's illegal, and it takes jobs away from citizens and people here legitimately. Sandy, different perspective. They said they were going to focus on criminals. I feel like they're targeting working people to get their deportation numbers up. I would rather give law-abiding, tax-paying immigrants a path to citizenship, deport the lawless people, and not just based on what they think their tattoos mean.
Well, right there you said tax-paying immigrant.
Well, it depends if they are. I think there are some instances where someone's working illegally and they're still paying taxes,
which is
into
what
the system.
This roofing guy claims.
Claims, right, which we'll get to that. So just a couple more because I want to set up what the public opinion of our viewership is on this before this story. Michelle, I voted yes because I think if you aren't here legally, you are also not registered properly and you might not be paying your fair share of taxes and getting a pass in that regard. All right, so there was this ICE raid yesterday at a roofing company up in Bellingham called Mount Baker Roofing. This from the Bellingham Herald. ICE agents detained nearly 40 employees during morning raid at Whatcom County business. So a little bit, I'll read a couple quotes from this that I think are important from ICE, but just a few details on this raid. 37 people who, according to the Herald, fraudulently represented their immigration status and submitted fraudulent documents and or information to seek employment. So they were arrested for administrative reasons. And then one worker who was there told the Bellingham Herald, just to give you an idea of this particular company and how many people were working there without proper authorization, one worker said ICE took more than half of the workforce of Mount Baker Roofing. So if you were thinking that you were going to get your roof worked on yesterday somewhere in the area and no one showed up, this might have been it. And they were also looking for other workers who were not there at the time. So at least more than half of the workforce, according to this one worker, of one roofing company was allegedly working there illegally. Okay, that's significant. So here's what ICE said in a statement that the Bellingham Herald published. ICE HSI investigates worksite violations and or the exploitation of workers. Worksite enforcement investigations focus on reducing illegal employment, holding employers accountable, and protecting employment opportunities for the country's lawful workforce. So before I get to the next part of this, which is the statement from the roofing company owner, which opens up a whole nother can of worms I need to discuss. To me, you know, when you look at this in a trafficking was mentioned. There's such a gamut here, right? It can be people who have authorization to be in the U.S., but not authorization to work. It can be instances like this where you have people who, according to ICE, had fraudulent documents and fraudulent paperwork. So they took extra steps to be here illegally, fraudulently employed, etc. So there's other issues there. And then you have straight up human trafficking, where people who are brought in under some sort of pretense and they're working in some sort of for like maybe even no money, I mean, slavery, because they're paying off the debt from being trafficked over here. So there's really a large sort of swath of things that have to do with ICE's enforcement of illegal workplace activity. But in this you've got more than 40 people fraudulently employed. And it wasn't clear based on the story, because they said they submitted fraudulent documents. Just based on the story, it wasn't clear, did this roofing company know, right? Was this roofing company aware that at least maybe more than half its workforce didn't have any paperwork to be legally employed? So here's what the guy says. And I don't know his, I don't know his politics. I don't know anything about him other than he owns a roofing company that was the subject of this raid. His name is Mark Kusky. These hardworking individuals were actively supporting our community by helping to build the homes and install the roofs that protect us all from the elements. Okay. I hate to laugh. Many of these individuals are active members of local churches, schools, and communities. Okay, so I'm going to take that first part of his statement. None of that matters. Literally none of that matters. You don't get at, you don't get to like come into the United States because you're going to go to church or you're going to show up at your kids' soccer games. That's not a justification for you being illegal in the United States or for you submitting false paperwork to be able to work, even if you are helping to build the homes and install the roofs that protect us all from the elements, okay? So let's move on to the second part of his statement. He says, we cannot ignore the larger implications of today's events. Policies like the enforcement action carried out today directly harm small businesses like ours, making it increasingly difficult to operate and further inflating the prices paid by consumers. That's where he tells on himself. What I read in that is, if I had to hire Americans, I'd have to pay them too much money.
Yep.
That's how I read that. And look, to me, he should be mad at Washington State Democrats. If the cost of his of running his business is too high, if the ever-increasing minimum wage is too high, he should be mad at Washington State Democrats. Not at ICE. So that statement, and I don't know for sure, to me, it sounds like he knew they were not authorized to work here when he says it'll be increasingly difficult to operate and inflate the prices paid by consumers. So I feel like he's telling on himself. But also, it's like saying, I don't want to hire Americans. I have to pay them too much, so I'm going to use illegal labor. And so as soon as I read that, I didn't care anymore. I didn't feel bad for anyone. I didn't feel bad for the business. I didn't feel bad for people who were waiting to get their roof put on. At the end of the day, I mean, skilled labor like that is a good job. And if you're going to just say and just give a big middle finger to the law and say, oh, the public doesn't like it, so we're not going to conduct these raids, you will have a lot of American jobs lost to immigrant workers who they're going to pay less money to by unscrupulous employers. And where does that stop? And by the way, you don't think that these raids were happening under the Biden administration? You don't think that these raids were happening under the Obama administration? This isn't a new thing under Trump where all of a sudden they say, hey, let's enforce all of the nation's immigration laws. Hey, let's go do a raid at a company that seems to be almost exclusively employing people with fraudulent documents. These raids have happened for years and years and years. But when they happen under Trump, they're treated differently in the media, in the eyes of the public. I worked in a newsroom. If under Barack Obama, when I first started working at Fox 13, if we had got a tip that there was an immigration raid happening at a workplace, we never would have sent a crew. We never would have sent a crew. Absolutely not. It wouldn't have been this story because, oh, Trump's focused on immigration. Oh, and he's, oh, you know, directing them to go round up workers. And not only, let's say we did go under the Obama administration. That story would have been positive. That story would have been framed as, oh my gosh, this company was employing 40 people who had fraudulent documents. Not framed like the Bellingham Herald framed it. When you read this full story, it's pretty wild, the details, right? They have that one quote from ICE explaining what ICE did. But then they insert all these very like sad lines. And I'm not saying there's not a, I have a heart. I'm not saying there's not a human element. I'm not saying these people don't have families. I'm not saying that they don't have friends in the community who will miss them. I'm not saying that they weren't doing important work, building homes and roofs for people, okay? I have a heart, but I can separate that from the legality of it. So this reporter with the Bellingham Herald, and look, Bellingham's a very, very, very progressive place, is inserting all these details. ICE agents barred friends, family, and other workers from the building, leaving them to gather outside. Yeah, they were doing an enforcement operation. You don't just get to wander around while they're carrying it out. You would never do that for any other law enforcement operation. It had... according to one worker, ICE took more than half of the workforce and said they were looking for other workers who were not there at the time. There was this one other line I saw. Oh, here it is. ICE agents were wearing masks and arrived in unmarked vehicles. Like, they make this sound like literally out of a movie. Mm-hmm. Oh, my God, unmarked vehicles. Whoa, they wouldn't let the family inside and all this stuff. It's like, you think it ever would have been covered that way, let alone covered at all. Under Biden and Obama. Not a chance. I'll do a peripheral search, see what kind of local news coverage there were on these issues, but these raids didn't just start under Donald Trump. And when you're employing that many people with fraudulent documents, they're not going to let you just give a middle finger to the law. They're just not. So I'm sorry if that's mean, I'm sorry if that's heartless, but yeah, I mean, American workers, you talk about wanting to support American workers and local workers and make sure people are paid their fair share. How much does do the left and the socialists? That's their key thing. Raise the minimum wage. $25 an hour. Make sure people are paid their fair share. Unionize workers' rights. You know what undermines all of that stuff you fight for? Businesses that bring in cheap illegal labor. So really, the socialists and the progressives should be on Donald Trump's side of this, but they're stuck because they're trying to fight. They're trying to decide between, oh my gosh, like radical ideology and identitarianism, where, you know, preference based on skin color and immigration status and orange man bad, and them wanting a better life for workers in the United States. This is a really troubling situation for them. So it's just fascinating. But yeah, it does not bother me. Is that mean? Have I grown cold and heartless? It does not bother me one bit.
I am sure that there are some stories that would really, like, touch our hearts and be like,
yes.
Oh, I wish they could stay. But I feel like we gave them an opportunity. We said, hey, self-deport, and maybe we'll let you back in.
Yeah.
And we'll give you this path to maybe get back in. But you chose to work. And this guy, I mean, I really think this owner knew. I mean, he absolutely knew what he was doing, because most of these guys didn't speak English. Yeah. It sounds like there was a translator even for this
allegedly
article,
just so we don't get in trouble. We think he probably knew based on his quote,
but yeah, so I just think that they were kind of given the chance. That's how it works. I can't go to Australia and just be like, I want to live here now.
I want to work on the kangaroo farm, which I know you would.
I absolutely would. So I feel bad, but I don't feel like there's any way to get around this. This is what's going to happen if you come here illegally, or you're going to live on edge waiting for it to happen, or whatever it is. But I feel like we got to enforce these
laws.
Right? You made that choice.
And it's not either or. It's not either they're doing this operation or they're rounding up criminal illegals who are like hurting people and trafficking drugs. They're doing both. They're doing multiple things a day, and they have different agents who are doing different things. The only sympathy I have in all this is for the Dreamers. I think DACA recipients, first of all, I don't know if they're continuing to give people any sort of DACA protections, but the set that was initially given protections came, you know, brought here as children, their parents dragged them here, whatever it is. I do think that it would be a huge no-brainer win for Donald Trump to finally be the one to give citizenship to Dreamers. There's no reason not to, as long as they've committed no new law violations while they've been under DACA. No reason. Both sides have said it periods of time that they want citizenship for Dreamers, but both of them use them as political pawns to get other things that they want. Right. Can you imagine? What would the left say if, after all this time of demanding and screaming for citizenship for Dreamers, that it's Donald Trump that puts pen to paper and signs it into law and makes them lawful permanent citizens of the United States? It would be forever in history. It would be Donald Trump who did it, right? And a Republican controlled Congress. You could do it today. Republicans could push it through. Democrats would have no choice but to vote yes, although they'd probably find a reason. No, he's doing this for political reasons, so we'll vote no, you know, on citizenship for Dreamers, because Democrats have blocked it before. That is one thing that I wish Donald Trump would do today, especially as he focuses in all these other areas. To me, that's a no-brainer. It's overwhelmingly popular for the American people. As long as they have, again, no new law violations, I don't think DACA should continue. I think you give people citizenship and there is no more DACA because you don't want to encourage it, right? You don't want to say like, oh, those children who are brought here got citizenship, so let's just keep bringing children in. So.
Along with that, I think there's some cases that I've been hearing where people have been here 40 years, their kids are here, everybody's, and they've been in the system. They've been trying to get citizenship. They're not trying to hide from anybody. Right. They're not working illegally. Those people at
There was a case out of California
that was like that. And I'm like, wait, those people, take them and say, this is like, we understand humanity and we are understanding of this problem. And like I said, they were in the system. So it's not like they were hiding from anybody or doing anything else illegal. They've been here 40 years. And obviously they said they were fleeing, what's the word I'm looking for?
Poverty,
no.
War, famine.
Whatever. So I just think that they should
communism,
be looked at differently. Yeah. And that would, those little moments, like you said, handling the dreamers and dealing with a couple like that in a humane way would probably give a little more weight to some of these issues where these people were all breaking the law multiple times.
Yeah. Oh, 100%. And it had fraudulent documents. They went out of their way. And who gave them the fraudulent documents? And who's hooking them up with that? Probably some sort of immigrant rights group that is getting taxpayer funds in the state of Washington, frankly.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So that's what I have to say about that. Sorry. Sorry, Bellingham lefties who are going to come for me now. Why can't I just have a day where I'm not worried about people threatening me online? All right. Democrats say there will be new taxes. That's literally a quote. There will be new taxes. That after Bob Ferguson came out yesterday, said he wouldn't sign either of their budgets. So which new taxes will they be? We'll discuss coming up next. First, our friend Wes Jones at sellwithwes.com is the guy that you want to call when it's time to sell your home. Maybe you're finally giving up. You're like, I'm moving out of Washington. I can't do this anymore, Brandy, which I absolutely would not blame you for, although I do wish you'd stay. Wes and his team have been doing this for a long time, and he's been through the market ups and downs, and he actually says right now things are good for home sellers. I mean, there's a lot of pent-up demand, so if you can get your home ready for sale, if you can make sure it's priced properly, those are the homes that are doing the best on the market right now. And good news is Wes can help you with both those things. He's going to give you a free market analysis, so we'll start there so you kind of set your expectations of what you might be able to get for your home. And then he can come in, and he and his team, their marketing is brilliant. I mean, you look at their home listings, they look better than any home listings on the market. And that does matter when it comes to who's looking, people who are looking to buy. And then he can help you make cosmetic updates to your home, take it all off your plate so you don't have to stress at all. Love it. Sellwithwes.com, and he's cool. Sell with Wes, and look at that beard. I wouldn't like the guy. Sellwithwes.com, a better way to sell your home. Brandy, can you stop talking about my appearance in your ads? It's really sexist. No, Wes, I won't. All right. So the leader of the House, the Speaker of the House, rather, Lori Jenkins in Olympia, a Democrat, tells the Seattle Times, quote, there will be new taxes. I guess apparently no matter what Governor Bob Ferguson says. Let's talk about it in our segment, Unbelievable. All right, so just as a reminder, Bob Ferguson came out this week and he said he's not going to sign the Democrats' budget. He is not going to sign, the Democrats' budget in the House. He's not going to sign the Democrats' budget in the Senate because he says it relies on way too much taxes, including a wealth tax that he doesn't even know will hold up. Here's a clip.
Neither budget, however, is close to one that I can sign for two key reasons. First, they each propose far too much in taxes. Second, they both rely on a wealth tax, which is novel, untested, difficult to implement, and, most importantly, for purposes of adopting a sustainable budget, will face an immediate challenge in court.
So I said, as I said yesterday, the fact that he didn't rule out the other taxes, especially this late in the legislative session with just weeks to go, tells me he'll support them, which sucks because you're talking about the largest property tax increase in our state's history, one that has no limit, which will be devastating for families. It's almost like dangle the wealth tax. Everybody's like, wealth tax, that's a crazy, crazy idea. They'll slip in the property tax, which will devastate people. I don't see them backing away from it. I really don't, especially since he took the wealth tax off the table. And really, the property tax is worse than the wealth tax. property tax impacts far more people with far less of an ability to pay for it. I mean, the wealth tax would take some economic boost out of the state. I don't want any of them. And then also the B&O tax increase, absolutely, they're going to pass that thing. And then the question is the payroll tax in Seattle. That was devastating and continues to be devastating for Seattle's economy, spreading it statewide. Why would you take a failed tax that has devastated the economy in the state's largest city and think that it would do any better anywhere else? So House Speaker Lori Jenkins was quoted by the Seattle Times saying this, in case you had any doubt, there will be tax increases. It's figuring out this kind of balance and making sure that we're able to minimize any harm when it comes to regular everyday Washingtonians. Interesting. If you wanted to minimize any harm when it comes to regular everyday Washingtonians, you certainly wouldn't be pushing a massive property tax increase. How are you going to spin that one? They want people to focus on the wealth tax and the B&O tax and the payroll tax, because the least popular of all the options is, of course, going to be the property tax increase. And, you know, I mean, I don't know the extent to which. It's hard because we know about it. You know about it. You're telling your friends and family about it. But then you've got all these people, millions of people who are just going about their day-to-day life like da-da-da-da-da. And the check comes. They're like, oh, that's weird. My property taxes are higher than they were. And they just keep going about their day-to-day life. And they just don't get engaged and they don't care. And so there's just not enough pushback to get Democrats to wake up or to get them out of office. So the other thing, and it just shows like the, gosh, what is the word, what is the word I'm looking for? The ego. Mm-hmm. The ego of these Democrats. They really do feel untouchable. So I mentioned on the show yesterday that 60 of our state's largest employers penned a letter after Bob Ferguson's press conference to the leaders of the House and the Senate, including House Speaker Lori Jenkins. And on that letter were the who's who's of Washington businesses, including Weyerhaeuser. So Speaker Lori Jenkins, in this interview with the Seattle Times, took umbrage with that, with Weyerhaeuser's name being on this letter, basically saying, hey, you might force us out of state and force us to relocate jobs if you pass these taxes. Jenkins said, this from the Seattle Times, she also said it was, quote, interesting that Weyerhaeuser signed on to the letter, considering the company previously met with her and told her it would never leave Washington. She said, quote, it would be kind of shocking to all of a sudden hear them threaten that they're going to leave or something like that over a B&O rate. So she's telling the Times, think about this for a second. She's telling the Times, well, that would be that's interesting they signed that letter because they met with me and they said they'd never leave the state. And she poo-poos it instead of thinking, well, maybe our proposals are really that bad. Like if a company that had told you, Speaker, that they'd never leave the state is now signing on to a letter saying they might have to leave the state. And you take it as, oh, they're full hot air, as opposed to take it seriously like, oh, these taxes are that bad that a company that told us it was dedicated to the state is rethinking that dedication. It's the hubris. It's the ego of it. Like, no, they won't leave. They won't leave. Look what's happening in Seattle, $47 million lower revenue than expected in 2024 because of their payroll tax. And don't act as if the B&O tax increase is only going to impact big businesses. It's not. It's going to impact small businesses as well. It's absolutely wild. So I am becoming increasingly concerned, as we discussed, you know, everybody's got their lobbyists in Olympia lobbying on their behalf, which they should. Businesses should have people down there in the ear on all these bills, trying to get them to do the right thing. But no one's down there lobbying for you. So I just feel like people are going to get the short end of the stick again, because as she said, there will be new taxes. The question is which one or which ones. If I was a betting woman, which I am, I would say they're going to pass the B&O tax increase. They're going to pass a pared-down version of the payroll tax, and they're going to pass the property taxes. I think that they'll do three of them. So I hope I'm wrong, but they are far too proud to back away from their proposals now, and they are not interested, completely uninterested in cutting spending. They continue to push this lie that if they cut spending, the state will crumble. If they reduce the size of government, we simply will not be able to exist while they fund things like laser hair removal for transgender inmates. Give me a break.
It's the arrogance, right?
Thank you.
Is that the word you're looking
yes.
for?
Yes.
Yeah. Came to me.
My
there.
Concussion brain really fails me sometimes. All right, some national news that I want to get to quite quickly. So there is, of course, a gubernatorial race in California, which is shaping up to be just deliciously ridiculous. Kamala hasn't entered the race yet.
Not yet.
Her cards? I'm surprised by that. So someone who has entered the race is Javier Becerra. He's probably familiar to you. He was the former HHS secretary. He was a member of Congress. He was the California Attorney General. And before that, he was a member of the California Assembly. So he's been around in California politics for a long time. So Javier Becerra went on a show I love out of California. It's called The Issue Is. It's the local Fox affiliate down there does it. And the host is a guy named Elix Michelson. And he's, you know, he's pretty straightforward, but he's very fair. And he does ask tough questions. So I watched this and I'm going to play 2.5 minutes of it for you because it's a carbon copy of the Democrats here. It's a carbon copy of the Democrats here. And the issue we've been pointing out, which is you guys have had complete control for a really long time. Yet all these things you're complaining are bad, you don't take any responsibility for it. So if you're not responsible for it, literally, who else is responsible for it? So Elix Michelson asks Javier Becerra about that in the context of what he says his number one priority is if elected. He's saying that he's running to make California more affordable. Here's the exchange.
Expensive to live in California for a lot of people, right? That housing affordability.
It is.
All the rest of that. But whose fault is that? Because Democrats have had a supermajority in Sacramento for decades now, run every statewide office. Isn't that the Democrats' fault?
Well, it's a growing issue. We've had Republican governors as well.
Yeah, Arnold Schwarzenegger was elected in 2006.
Yeah, I guarantee you, homes in California in 2006 were too expensive back then.
I know,
well.
But it's gone up a lot in the last 20 years.
We have not tackled it the way we should. And I think principally the reason we have this issue in California on prices is because we haven't built enough. And that means it's a tight market. Everyone still wants to come to California. People may be leaving, but there are a whole bunch of people who would love to be able to live in California.
But from a policy perspective, what specific change are you proposing that would be different than the status quo right now that would make a difference and make prices less in California?
Yeah, I can tell you that status quo, business as usual, is not on California voters' mind as the thing to do. And so I think all of us are going to be talking change, but here's what I would do. I would take the experience I had having to lead this country at Department of Health and Human Services out of a pandemic, a once-in-a-lifetime pandemic, having to negotiate for the first time in our history the lower prices for prescription drugs of some of the most expensive drugs that our seniors on Medicare program have to use. I would say you need to bring the problem right to the table with the best experts there. You scrub it. And then whatever is left, whatever's clean and survives, that's what you do. And we've not been willing to do that because of all the politics, all the old ways of doing things. We get caught up in this knee-jerk reaction that we can't do it that way. Time to change.
But is there a specific policy change that you would propose to make a difference on some of these affordability issues?
I think so. Housing development. I think everyone agrees we don't build enough. It's not enough to say, okay, we all agree we don't build enough and then not do anything about it. Okay, if we all agree, then everyone from all sides of this, sit down, scrub it, because this is what I had to do with COVID. This is what I had to do when we were trying to get rid of monkeypox, mpox. Mm-hmm. This is what I had to do when we were figuring out what prices to negotiate on the drugs. You figure out where we could go, and then you go. Mm-hmm. And you just say, damn the torpedoes, we gotta go.
Why are they all like this? I had to take notes because there was so much insanity in that one clip. Doesn't that remind you of the Democrats here? Mm-hmm. Oh my God, it's just, so a few things. He brings up, when Elix rightfully points out you have a supermajority, you've had majorities for a long time. He brings up that Arnold Schwarzenegger was the governor in 2006. So he tries to blame the last Republican, which was 20 years ago, right? And then says, well, housing prices were expensive back then. Not even close, right? So Elix tries to course correct, asks him again. Okay, but what policies? So he says, we haven't built enough homes. Yeah, that's a statement. That's a statement of fact. It's not a policy. So Elix tries to get him again. What specific policies? He had no policy proposal except to say twice that they need to sit down and scrub it. Scrub what? They need to sit down in a room and scrub it. Damn the torpedoes, he says. And then he, of course, has all the buzzwords. Can't have the status quo. Can't have business as usual. We need change. Change from a guy who was a California assemblyman, the Attorney General of California, a member of Congress from California, and the HHS secretary. Man, you've had a long time to change things and improve things. It is wild to me. I mean, I'm not even running for governor of California on a platform of make it more affordable to live here. And I can give you a few ideas just off the bat. No rent control. Reduce regulations for builders and landlords. I mean, some of the same issues that are happening here. Make it more advantageous to come into your state and make economic investments. Instead, you're scaring businesses away, similar to what we're doing here. It's the roadmap to make a state more expensive. Through-the-roof property taxes. Failure to manage wildfires so people can't even insure their homes. That'll make your state unaffordable. Literally, some of these stuff is low-hanging fruit, like very easy when you talk about we need to build more homes. Okay, let's help builders build more homes. How can we do that? Cut red tape and bureaucracy. Reduce the cost of regulations. Reduce the wait times for new permits. Incentivize it. I mean, that guy in a 2.5-minute exchange didn't give Elix Michelson one idea for actually reducing costs in California except let's sit down in a room and scrub it. It's insane. The people who run for politics are nuts, with a few exceptions. These are people who have just failed over and over and over, and I think they're such failures, they don't think they can find any success in the private sector, so people just keep putting them in public office. It's wild. All right. As I said, there are some exceptions. I really like a lot of what's happening in Florida right now. And some of it is making me, I have to be honest, very, very jealous. It is our weekly segment, Florida Report.
It's not even controversial anymore.
People know in Florida their freedoms are going to be respected.
Miranda, hello.
Hello.
So I'm annoyed because we had Republicans here who proposed a modest sales tax holiday. Literally, hey, let's give families a sales tax on back to school products for just a short period of time. And hey, we can pay for that if we stop paying for laser hair removal for transgender inmates and stuff like that. And Democrats said absolutely not, no. So now DeSantis is proposing six sales tax holidays.
Yes, five of those already exist. Five of those we've been able to enjoy for many years. Including the sales tax holiday for back to school supplies, hurricane preparedness. There's even one for it's called tool time, and it's for blue collar workers and skilled laborers that need a break on, just having the newest, latest and greatest tools at their disposal, among others. But we have two new ones that are being proposed. One is the Second Amendment sales tax holiday, which would give everybody a tax-free holiday on buying guns, ammunition, and accessories.
Great.
To go with them.
Really happy for you. Really Thanks. Happy for you.
And the other one, this one would be a good one to go along with the summer freedom tax holiday, which we already have, and you get to buy, outdoor recreational items for tax-free. It's basically a tax on boating fuel, or a no tax on boating fuel, so people can, load up on their fuel to enjoy a day out on the water here in Florida.
Good grief. I mean, not only a tax holiday there for the important stuff, but the fun stuff too. What is wrong with our state? Yeah, you have a 14-day back to school sales tax, two 14-day disaster preparedness sales tax holidays, 1 month freedom summer sales tax holiday, a 7-day tool time sales tax holiday, the Second Amendment sales tax holiday, and a 2-month boating fuel tax holiday. I mean, that just bothers me, honestly. And we're stripping people and making gun ownership more expensive here because they absolutely hate the Second Amendment. So I can see why people move to Florida.
Yeah, well, if they do pass this permanent sales tax reduction, then some of these, if not all of them, will go away. So that would be something in lieu of giving us a permanent break on sales tax, we would no longer be able to enjoy these types of tax holidays.
Well, I guess if it all evens out, if you're lowering the sales tax across the board, I mean, that would be more advantageous than like individual things here and there. But I don't know if that doesn't happen. Are there any of these sales tax holidays you take advantage of?
Yeah, I'm not a huge consumer. In my later days, I worked too hard for my money to just spend it recklessly. But I do take advantage of the hurricane preparedness one. Because a lot of those are also things that, like, a lot of those things that fall in that category are things I use anyway. So I do take advantage of that. And then last summer, I did buy a new tent during our Summer of Freedom.
Yeah, I like that. Your boyfriend probably takes advantage of that 7-day tool time sales tax holiday. I can see him hitting the stores during that. All right, one more, only because we're in this whole Doge mode and Ron DeSantis, you know, was patting himself on the back because the state was returning a bunch of money to the federal government. But now DeSantis and a Florida agency are being looked at a little closely. There is an accusation that $160 million in Medicaid funds is missing.
Yeah. And I honestly, this is why I love like this whole Doge movement, because it applies to everybody.
Yeah.
It's not, you know, if budgets are being looked at with a keener eye, it doesn't matter who's in charge of the money, you're probably going to find money missing. But this is a big amount of money to go missing. And it's kind of being directly linked to DeSantis, because the former secretary of the AHCA was appointed to be chief of staff to DeSantis. So when that money went missing, he was with the AHCA, and now he's the chief of staff for DeSantis. And there are no answers as of right now where that money went, whether it was spent somewhere else or is just they haven't found it yet. But either way, like, they owe the taxpayers answers on that.
Well, right. And I love how the agency is trying to dodge. I mean, as public agencies. So AHCA stands for the Agency for Healthcare Administration. It says, this is according to News 4. The report claimed the agency could be responsible for the massive $1 million loss due to improper accounting and failure to pay a federal penalty related to Medicaid. But the agency, of course, they're going to always try to downplay it. The rhetoric going around that the $160 million is lost is inaccurate, and at this point, fodder for clickbait. But this reminds me of when, like, the Department of Defense said, oh, we didn't misspend, or it wasn't fraud, we just can't account for $2 billion. It's like, okay, well, yeah, I would call that missing and lost then. If you can't account for it, then it's lost.
Yeah, and this always confuses me, because I just go into my bank account and I can account for every cent, because if there's a financial transaction, there's got to be some sort of paper trail, you know? So money doesn't just walk away. So it definitely went somewhere it wasn't supposed to go. And I would appreciate them just taking somewhat of the high road and saying, if there's money missing, we're going to go look for it, rather than saying, this is clickbait, you know?
Yeah. The chair of the House Ways and Means Committee in your state house in Florida said the same thing. This is the public's money, right? It's not our money. It's the public's money. We're holding it in trust for citizens and the taxpayers of the state. Any amount of money is an important obligation and responsibility that we have to look after. Yeah. And to your point, it could have, you said it, you know, went somewhere it wasn't supposed to. It could have gone somewhere it was supposed to, but they didn't properly account for it. And that's a problem too, because if you can't track the money, if you can't trace the money, if it's not properly accounted for, then we're left to make assumptions about where the money went. And so that's why audits and all these things at the state level, city level, county level, federal level are so important. Like, you have to be able to your point, you have to be able to account for where the money goes. So, all right, Miranda, enjoy your many sales tax holidays. Before we know it, there'll be a sales tax holiday on what's something uniquely Florida. Alligator boating tours and food for
maybe
iguanas.
Maybe that falls under the Summer of Freedom, though, because it is outdoor recreation. So maybe I could buy an airboat.
Yeah. Right after you said you're not a big consumer and you don't waste your money, buy an airboat. 100%. I love it. Okay. All right. Actually, one more question. Have you ever seen Lana Del Rey? You know she's married to like a crocodile boat tour guide.
Yes, she is. And I actually know somebody who knows that guy, because one of Javi's friends, his family owns one of the oldest tour boat companies in Florida. So they're all kind of, it's a small community. They all know each other. So,
oh, get me on a tour boat with Lana Del Rey.
Oh, I know. I love that she went for some, you know, like just a backwoods dude. And I like that for her.
Yeah, rugged blue collar guy. All right, Miranda, thank you.
You're welcome. Bye.
It's not even controversial anymore.
People know in Florida their freedoms are going to be respected.
So annoying. A sales tax holiday to buy guns. A sales tax holiday so you can more easily exercise your Second Amendment rights as opposed to what's happening in Washington, where they're like, let's tax them more.
It's really stark.
It's like, how are we in the same country? How are we in the same country? It's depressing. Absolutely. We'll have your comments coming up next. First, from Michelle on her experience with Firstmark Insurance. She said, thank you for recommending Firstmark Insurance. You're welcome. I kept mentioning to my husband, but he wasn't ready to look into it. We got our renewal with our existing provider for the next 6 months, and it went up from $3,000 to $8,000. I promptly reminded him about Firstmark. We worked with Brad, and he saved us more than 50%. We can now continue our discussions about getting a travel trailer. I love to hear it. I hear so many similar stories from undivided viewers and listeners of their Firstmark Challenge success story. And look, it's a no-brainer because it's free to do it. You never pay Firstmark anything. You need insurance anyway. So let them figure out if you have the best insurance at the best price. And they work for you, not the insurance company. So they're always going to have your best interest in mind, even if that means turning away your business. Because they can't do better than you've done for yourself. Sometimes that happens. FirstmarkInsurance.com, FirstmarkInsurance.com. The very best part is they work for you. All right, let's start out with a couple super chats, shall we? Papa Woody, $2. Ay, caramba. I don't know what it's in reference to,
that's
but it could be in
to
reference to multiple things. Gray Matter, quote, a society grows great when old men plant trees in whose shade they know they shall never sit. Luckily, we have men and women who have this vision, referring to Donald Trump trying to stop America from getting screwed over, even if he won't be in office to see the benefit of it. Let's see. Jeffrey, I don't like the tariffs. So far, this policy has cost me tens of thousands of dollars. I'm curious what you do.
I know. I'm very curious.
I don't think it's going to get better. Hopefully, you aren't retiring soon. Is it a coincidence that Russia and North Korea are not on the list? I guess I didn't see that they weren't. But we already have...
No, we don't have trade with them.
Well, what
why.
I'm saying is, yeah, we already have... embargoes, so that's just a different
yeah they're
thing. We
cut
already
off
have
there's
a,
one
yeah.
other country some there's some other country that I can't even remember the name of yeah. that I had never heard of that's on that. There's like three or four countries
yeah so that's
we
that's
do
a
no
that,
trade.
We're beyond tariffs with them mm-hmm, we're beyond mm-hmm. tariffs. Plus, what does North Korea have that we want anyway? You
yeah,
know
no, thanks.
BJ Bumblebee, they keep increasing taxes and fees and wondering why people are losing their homes and becoming homeless. They just keep trying the same stupid solutions. They are insane. Matt, Lori Jenkins is a Timu Elizabeth Warren.
I think that every time.
That she looks like her?
Yes.
Kind of. Yeah, I can
yeah,
see that.
Yeah, and they have the same snarkiness in their voice.
Yeah.
Like,
yes,
I,
they do.
I know better.
I agree. Mm-hmm. I agree. Rachel, any idea, if passed, when the tax increases will go into effect? So what they're passing is the ability, I think, of counties to increase without going to people. So I'm not sure. Well, no, if it's tied to inflation, it would be automatic, right? Let me look into that. If it's something that's going to happen at the same time other bills go into effect, which would be July 1st or not, that's a good question. I shall look into it. Let me see. Take a note of that, or I will forget.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay. I forget everything. My Cup of Tea 101. Tackle it the way we should sounds similar to they didn't do communism right, but we will. But that's just me. Yeah, Javier Becerra. We got to tackle it the way we should. Well, what have you been doing for the last 20 years? Just full of one-liners. Oh, my God. Sharon, Brandy, I'm waiting for you to move to Florida. If you go, I will, too. I'm not going to move to Florida. Too hot, honestly. I love a visit to Florida. I love a vacation to see my sister. Generally too hot for me there. Nicole's like, I want a roast. So Nicole would
yeah,
love it.
Yeah, I would go.
Yeah. Ken, Brandy, most people don't know it, but if you save your gas receipts for your boat, you can submit it to the state of Washington and get the taxes paid reimbursed. You can?
Yes. Oh, yeah. That's
why?
A thing. Because you're not. It's not for the roads or something.
Oh, so because the gas tax goes to the roads.
Yeah, it's some of the. Yeah, it's a. What's that called? When it
like
taxes
a
don't taxes don't apply. What's that called? Exemption.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just an exemption.
Interesting. I had no idea. Thank you for informing me of that. I'm sick and tired of hearing people be complacent and whine about the fact that we're still only charging half of what we're being charged for all goods and services, except in the straight 10% to 10%. We're still being ripped off. Manufacturing needs to be returned. Outsourcing was the worst thing we ever did for our economy, tied with open borders. I'm in retirement and I see the whole picture and the end game. People need to stop with the instant gratification. This is a long game. And also, if you're going to do it, it has to happen during someone's generation.
Mm-hmm.
Has to happen during someone's retirement. I get it. That doesn't make it any less scary.
And it didn't have to happen over one presidency. Right. But Trump has been, everything he said, I heard him say in his Oprah interview 30 years ago. Like, these are not new concepts. It's just nobody's done anything about
it. And then so, you let it get so bad and so bad, and so bad, and then it's harder to fix, right? So somebody has to have the political will to fix it. All right. Good stuff. Should we get to our closing sanity check and try to end the show somewhat on time today?
Let's do it.
Who cares about time? We're our own bosses. I work for you. So we don't listen to anyone. Well, I listen to you, I guess. Nicole. I listen to Nicole because I'm scared of what might happen if I don't. And with that, let's get to our closing sanity check. All right, just another fun clip from Trump's speech. So, of course, prices of things are probably going to go up, but he says he's keeping a keen eye as we approach Easter on egg prices.
The first week, I got blamed for eggs. I said, I just got here. They said eggs have gone up at like 250% and you can't get eggs. And they were going crazy. And I said, I just got here. And then we got to work on eggs and we got to work on everything. And our great Secretary of Agriculture, you did a fantastic job. Brooke Rollins, she did a fantastic job. And as I said before, the price of eggs dropped now 59% and they're going down more, and the availability is fantastic. They were saying that for Easter, please don't use eggs. Could you use plastic eggs? I said, we don't want to do that. We want to, and you really came through. It's an amazing job. Thank you very much, Brooke. You did great.
Ah, no plastic eggs.
We'd have to get those from China.
Although, if you're going to put stuff in the eggs for an Easter egg hunt, I probably do recommend the plastic kind. It'd be a little bit messy to try to get those into a real egg.
Yeah, we don't think that would work too well.
Yeah. All right, that has been your closing sanity check. That has been today's episode of Undivided and this week's episodes of Undivided. Thank you so much for being here. We'll have a new episode of Politics Unpacked coming up tomorrow. And then on Sunday, we have a guest that is going to give you an easy way to get involved at the local level in trying to change Washington state politics. So that will be on Sundays with subscribers on Sunday. So why not become a subscriber today? If you've been holding out on us, $5 a month, we're fan funded. You can sign up UndividedPod.com, UndividedPod.com. And if you're a member of the military, a veteran, or a first responder, use the promo code USA for 30% off. Ta-ta.